Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Hello, celebrity gossip enthusiasts. I'm Travis Cronin, and you're listening to Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast. Today, I'm joined by two lovely ladies and, you know, sometimes lovely co-hosts when they want to be, when they're not drinking at a wedding. First, we have the red-haired ballerina, Gwen Flamberg.
I'm always nice and rarely drink at weddings. That's not true.
That is definitely not true. And we have Miss Sarah, the musical, the series Huron.
Hello, I'm back. My voice is a little hoarse. I'm working on it, you guys, but happy to be here. There's a lot to discuss.
Yes, there is a lot to discuss this week. We have some head-turning new couples, a hot Playboy model 45 years later, a very revealing tell-all that's not revealed yet, a very modern proposal, and a film festival flub. But before we get into all of these, let's start with our woes of the week. Welcome back, Miss formerly baby girl, Miss Sarah Huron. What made you go woe this week?
Well, first, I would like to say happy birthday, Prince George. He is 8 today, looking just like Prince William in that new portrait. If you are not watching us on YouTube, you can't see my adorable Prince George mug that I'm drinking tea out of. But more importantly, we need to talk about everything that's going on with Tarek El Mousso and Christina Hack. You know, I've never seen an episode of Flip or Flop, but that doesn't stop me from being obsessed with these messy people and all the real estate people dating and the Heather Rae Young of it all. And now the freaking Renee Zellweger. But to go back, Christina and Tarek still film their show Flip or Flop, even though they broke up like 3 years ago. And according to TMZ and several other outlets who confirmed, these two had a dispute on set recently that included Tarek calling Christina, a washed up loser and comparing her to his fiance, Heather Rae Young, saying, quote, allegedly, "It's called winning. The world knows you're crazy." Now, allegedly, this dispute started because Tarek was upset about all of Christina's recent confessions about her new boyfriend, Joshua Hall, including the fact that she smoked a buffalo toad or whatever the hell is going on with that. And Christina, they have not directly responded to this, but Christina did take to Instagram to share a selfie with Joshua and wrote, quote, "Ride or die. Some people are lucky enough to get forever the first time, but no one should be shamed for things not working out, and no one knows what goes on behind closed doors. Remember that before making judgments and assumptions, and this woman slash mama is lucky enough to have this man choose me."
That, first of all, that allegedly, it sounds exactly like it came from Tarek's mouth, so the allegedly is real weak there. What is a buffalo toad, and how does one smoke one?
Well, according to a doctor that spoke to People magazine, quote, "Imagine any peak experience you've had in your life where time and all your thinking sort of goes away. Imagine multiplying that times 100. And that's sort of how psychedelics and this toad experience, this 20-minute experience that Christina took, maybe helped her feel better. This was apparently for her anxiety. It's how she met Joshua." I mean, a lot to unpack.
Wow, that is a lot to unpack, and I am flabbergasted. I feel like I've just taken a hit off of a buffalo toad. Well, Gwen Flamberg, what made you go whoa this week?
You guys, did you see Sports Illustrated and all of their covers with inclusive models? Like, my favorite is Megan Thee Stallion on the cover of Sports Illustrated with her curves and looking fantastic. And what also made me go, whoa, is that there is a video where Tyra Banks, Miss America's Next Top Model host herself, is coaching Megan Thee Stallion on how to be a model. And fans are freaking out because Tyra's wearing like an evening gown in the hot tub. And they're like, why, girl, why? But I just loved the whole, like, the whole modelness of it. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. You guys know what to do. Go to usmagazine.com/stylish to read all about it, see the photos, see the video, and see some of the other cover stories of Sports Illustrated, including Naomi Osaka, which I think is also like really, really cool.
Lena Bloom, the first trans girl from Pose. I've been such a fan of hers. Yes. She is so hot, beautiful, amazing. Loved her cover. But yes, Tyra Banks was in a hot tub with Megan Thee Stallion, who was in a bathing suit, which is, you know, what one typically wears.
Well, also for the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Yeah.
I couldn't believe that she wore that gown. You just know it's soaking wet, like from the boobs down. Yes. It's ridiculous and just a beautiful gift and really why we do what we do. Thanks a lot, Tyra and Megan, for that.
An honorable mention to David Dobrik's assistant, Natalie, who was one of the rookies of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit this year. She looks great.
Oh, good for you, Natalie. You definitely need the work now. All right. Well, my woe of the week, I'm just going to start off with a quote. You guys have no idea what I've been living through. No idea what I've been through. This was said by Erica Girardi, the Pretty Mess this week, who revealed a lot on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills this week about her ongoing legal struggles. More importantly, about Tom Girardi, or her soon-to-be official ex-husband's mental capacity now that he is under conservatorship, the word of 2021. So she talked about Tom's car accident, and she says, Tom's had a car accident, which is true, which I didn't tell you the rest of it, she told Kyle Richards. She said, as a result of the crash, his ankle was broken, and he was also unconscious for 12 hours, but no one knows that. He had a head injury, broke his shoulder, snapped his ankle, and broke his clavicle, she said. He drove off a cliff. Erica Jane then explained how he rolled down the hill and was separated from the car when she found him, and she believed he was driving home and made a wrong turn down a windy road. The Hollywood Hills will do that to you. When he finally called me, I said, where have you been? I was always just assuming he was with some other woman, she told her castmates. And then in her confessional later, she said, I've been a bimbo, gold-digging trophy wife. Now, all of a sudden, I'm a financial mastermind that has her finger on the pulse of everything. Shout out to my mom for really saying this beforehand, that we used to think that she was just sort of a pop star, and now we think she is intertwined in all the finances and legal abilities. But I mean, this really just made me go, whoa, this week. Sarah, you must have some thoughts, being a huge Real Housewives of Beverly Hills fan.
Travis, I have so many thoughts. And the story she told about this car crash, which they had flashbacks to when she originally told the women in 2017, when she said he just broke his ankle. But the story was very confusing. She was kind of all over the place. Then it led into these cheating allegations of her claiming that ever since she looked at his phone, since Yolanda and David Foster got divorced, she found all of these like text messages. And Kyle Richards was like, well, why didn't you leave? And she was like, well, where would I go? And there was just so many allegations being thrown at the wall that it was very hard to follow. And it's starting everyone wondering, like, is Erica telling the truth? There's all this talk about her mascara tears. And one of Tom's former legal consultants went on Heather McDonald's podcast and was like, what is this acting? Like, straight up just accused her of acting. And I don't know what to believe because I don't know what Erica knew. But what I do know is that this isn't working. Whatever the strategy is here, it's not working. It's confusing. The tears look fake. As everyone's pointed out, she's a one to wear sunglasses. She knows about waterproof mascara. It feels fake. And the only play here is to express remorse. And she hasn't done that once. She hasn't said one thing about how, if this is true, if Tom did this, I can't believe that I could have accidentally contributed. She's not said one thing about the poor victims and orphans and plane crash families of plane crash victims. The stories aren't adding up. And she looks so, they all look so silly supporting her. And she's in the promo saying, where did all the money go? Like, girl, to your singing career. What do you mean, where did the money go?
Gwen Flamberg, Arbiter Beauty and Style, do you think that Erica Jane, even though she is the face of Too Faced Better Than Sex mascara, which is not waterproof, do you think that she would have known, or she would have worn, you know, waterproof mascara, worn the sunglasses. What were your thoughts looking at this?
I did think that it was a little bit of thirst for attention there, because she knows exactly how to put herself together so as to not show emotion. And she really wanted to emote in this moment. For all.
Like, I don't want to agree with Camille Grammer ever, but as Camille Grammer pointed out, when they were in the Bahamas crying and she was in the ocean, there was no mascara all over Erica's face. This is a little too curated for me.
Oh, very curated. Good word, Sarah Heron.
It is very curated. You're such a effing liar, Sarah Heron, to quote, Kyle Richards at Camille. Well, we will be getting into more of this next week, because Erica Jayne has to put up all of her financial documents to the court by this week. We are very excited. There are a few legal documents I like better than a rundown of assets.
Me too.
So we will be breaking all of those down next week. Well, it's Britney again, bitch. The gospel, of Britney has been preached according to the book of Exodus conservatorship. May the peace of the Lord be with you. But it's actually, may the Lord wrap your mean ass up in joy, says Britney Spears. This is her quoting of Exodus against her sister, Jamie Lynn Spears. Jamie Lynn Spears posted a photo of her looking very cute, a snake, but very cute in a red dress, where she said, may the peace of the Lord be with you, peace sign, heart emoji. And then Britney said, it's actually, may the Lord wrap your mean ass up in joy. Jamie Lynn then quickly edited the words, take all of them out and only keep the peace and love emojis. Now, this is on the heels of Britney finally speaking out of her ongoing conservatorship on social media. We've seen her talk in court saying that she would like to sue her entire family, but now she is clearly in charge of her own Instagram and she is not backing down. She said, and I quote, in that moment, that's what I felt it was the easiest to say, but I think we all know that I will never be able to let go and fully move on until all that I needed to say is say, and I'm not even close. I was told to stay quiet about things for so long, and I finally feel free. I'm just getting there. Now, a source told us that Britney is fighting back now because she feels supported for the first time. She feels that she has the power. The source says the Free Britney movement finally gave her her voice back, and she felt like she wasn't alone. Now, she hasn't been able to make any personal or financial decisions without the approval of her father for more than a decade, but that seems to be taking a turn. Her lawyer resigned. She has got a new court-appointed attorney who is saying some really good things about her. And the source says Britney has tried several times before to get her life back, but no one would listen. Now that Britney has found her voice, there is no stopping her. It's been building up for so long, and she's ready to unleash on those that have held her away from her own life. She wants the world to know what her dad is doing. Now, what are your guys' thoughts on her ripping Jamie Lynn Spears, a new one through the Bible of Britney?
I thought that it was very apropos that it would be through the Bible. I think that the family, is God-fearing, or at least Jamie Lynn is, after she had that accident. But, I think that this was really telling, because for the first time after all these years, we are seeing how Britney really feels about her whole family, and that she has felt betrayed and she has felt left out and like iced out and like on her own and alone. And, personally, I'm just kind of happy to see Britney be fierce. I'm happy to see her find her strength. I'm happy to see her find her voice. I just, as we keep talking about week after week, I really hope that at the end of the day, this goes her way and she gets the freedom that she's seeking. And I'm not sure that that's going to happen. And that has me feeling very nervous.
I agree. I've had so many questions about Jamie Lynn and their brother and where they stood on all of this. And it's always kind of seemed like maybe they had her back, especially Jamie Lynn. She would say, I've been there the whole time. I'm there behind the scenes. You guys don't know. But it seems like maybe she was on the payroll more than she let on. There's a lot going on there. My favorite part of this whole thing was when Britney shaded Jamie Lynn's tribute to her at the Radio Disney Music Awards a few years ago.
Oh, and
was
like, do you want the quote?
Yes, I would like
to. I don't
quote.
Like my sister that my sister showed up to an award show and performed my songs to remixes. 6 explanation points.
And then if you go back and watch the clip, like Britney does look pretty horrified in the crowd at that Radio Disney Music Awards. And it's just, there's so much there. And it's sad, but it's also like, I mean, I believe Britney. So sorry, Zoe 101. I'm out on you.
This was sort of the first time I was really, I didn't think Jamie Lynn was doing her wrong for a long time. It seemed like Jamie Lynn was on her side, but I guess that's just because she has like a kind face and was on Zoe 101 that like I was believing her. But after Britney is, you know, shading her and throwing all these allegations out, it really seems that no one in their family was ready for Britney. And you're right, she was horrified when Jamie Lynn performed those. And then I watched a clip of them backstage, and Britney has that horrible like fake smile where she's like, it was so great.
Which totally makes sense, because if they did have her back, like I don't think we would have been in this situation. Like, they can say they were trying, whatever, but I feel like if that was my sibling and I was watching my dad, like, I don't know, there's so many, like, families are complicated, but like, it's clear that they weren't, you know, listening to her, or they weren't paying close enough attention, because this doesn't make any sense if they were.
And Jamie Lynn wasn't muzzled by a court order.
Right.
You know, she could have spoken out, and maybe her dad would have cut off her payroll. We do not know yet. But if the trajectory of things goes the way it's going, we will know all. Prince Harry is writing a book, and it's bound to reveal a lot of royal secrets that will further embarrass the royal family. This unexpected twist, Prince Harry's upcoming memoir, has sent shockwaves through the royal family, and sources are telling us how they feel. The source says the royal family is shaken up about the book, noting that Prince Charles and Prince William are, quote, particularly concerned about what Prince Harry will reveal. Which are bad enough already. The insider adds they haven't received a copy yet because it's not written. So they don't know what to expect. It's making them nervous. Now, this book is going to be published by Penguin Random House and expected to hit shelves in late 2022. And Prince Harry gave us a little statement, and he said, I'm writing this not as the prince I was born, but as the man I've become. I've worn many hats over the years, both literally and figuratively. Love that. And my hope is that in telling my story, the highs and lows, the mistakes, the lessons learned, I can help show that no matter where we come from, we have more in common than we think. And the publisher's description of the book says it will be a, quote, the definitive account of the experiences, adventures, losses, and life lessons that have helped shape the former military pilot's point of view. Oh, new name. Great for writing stories. Prince Harry will offer an honest and captivating personal portrait, one that shows readers that behind everything they think they know lies an inspiring, courageous, and uplifting human story. Now, let us wildly speculate about what he is going to be saying. Do you think he's going to trash the royal family a lot? Do you think they have gotten that sort of out there and he's going to talk about everything else? Gwen Flanders, Royophile, tell us what he's going to say.
I really think, especially because he framed this as not the prince I was born as, but the man I have become, is a hint that there is going to be a lot of negative stuff kind of spewed in this book. What I want to hear in his own words is about his childhood with Princess Diana when she was alive. Okay. Truly hear in his own words, which we've never really heard in detail or with emotion, how he felt about her death at the time of her death when he was a boy and how that shaped him. But the man that he's become is largely because of the woman who he married. And I'm really afraid that there's going to be a lot of trashing going on here. And, you know, don't do this to your grandmother. Has, like, come on, be cool. Make it nice. Like, you've aired it. You aired it with you know, on CBS. Come on, keep it under wraps. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think we're in for it.
To quote Catherine McPhee in Smash, you know I love a scandal. But I feel like I've heard what the royal family has done. I want to hear his experience, but I would more like insight into his life versus wrongdoing against Meghan.
I think that I feel the same way I did about the CBS thing, where it's like, it makes me really sad, but I'm addicted to drama. So like, I do need this, but it's definitely just going to make things worse for everyone in the actual family, and probably his likability in amongst the British people, which continues to go down. But I think the person who needs to watch out is Charles, because in a lot of the interviews that Harry has done solo without Meghan, whether it be Armchair Expert or the Apple TV Plus series, it's a lot about kind of blaming Charles for not wanting to fix mistakes that he experienced, and how Harry is now going to change his parenting styles based on his dad being a bad dad, basically. Yes. So if that's, you know, the prince he was born to be, who he is today, which is a father, I think that there's going to be a lot of Charles slander.
I do too. Gwen, yes, as a royal file, you know, do you think Charles has sort of any redeeming qualities in this particular story?
I doubt it. You know, for any of us who've watched The Crown, I think that it's easy for us to see that Charles himself was effed up by his family, or, you know, yeah. I doubt that that was fiction. I think that Sarah is entirely right. I think that a lot of the ire will be slung towards Charles, blaming Charles for Diana's death, blaming Charles for the coldness that the family has experienced, and, you know, going onwards into what made Harry want to split. But, you know, I just don't think it's like, whenever you hear anybody talk badly about somebody else, it reflects poorly on the person who's slinging the trash, right? Like, it's just kind of like, move on, move on.
Well, speaking of move on and slinging trash, Sarah Huron, what can you tell us about Hayden Panettiere and her horribly abusive alcoholic, allegedly ex-boyfriend, Brian Hickerson?
Oh, yes. A sad development for our girl Hayden. So over the last couple of years, Hayden and Brian have been in this on and off relationship. He has been arrested for domestic violence more than once. Most recently, he had to turn himself into Men's Central Jail in Los Angeles by May 7th, which he did. And then he was released later that month. And now these two have been spotted together. Us Weekly confirmed they were out in Los Angeles at Justin Casos, and then a cup to line dance. And then a few days later, they met up to watch the NBA Finals. There was reports that they were drinking, and Hayden is sober. So then Brian released a statement to E! News saying, to clarify, I was enjoying a beer. Hayden was not drinking. We went to a new Texas new restaurant that is Texas based, and being a Southern guy, I'm a big fan of country music. So yes, there was some line dancing involved. Hayden and I are not back together, but working on a friendship. We have a long history together, and the first step in my recovery as an abuser is making amends. That's exactly what Hayden has been gracious enough to allow me to do. Go run, Hayden, run.
Run, run. She has really weird and terrible taste in men.
And short relationships. Legs. It's going to be hard to run away.
I mean, it's just like, I guess good for him for recognizing himself as an abuser, but
yeah.
It's hard to, you know, trust that. He's only got out of jail a few months ago.
Yeah, and just, I'm sorry, the like smirk on his face and the statements he gives scream abuser. You know, lure him with some honey to slap her in the face with some vinegar. It's just, it's bad. And I really want him gone and out of poor little Hayden's life.
I know.
Especially when she's in recovery and he's like, oh, I cannot. We have an update on Renee Zellweger and Aunt Anstead. She is moving stuff into his place, a source reveals in the new issue of Us Weekly. They say Renee is already moving things into Aunt's house. He and Aunt adores her and makes her feel safe. And the source has said that she's already met his youngest child. Now, just in case, need a little background, the pair was first linked after he finalized his divorce from Christina Hack. They met through filming an episode of Celebrity IOU Joyride. And while the romance is new, a source tells us that it's already gotten serious enough for her to meet his youngest child, Hudson. The source says Renee has met his youngest and she's great with kids, and it warms Anne's heart to see her be so good with him. Now she's moving stuff into his Laguna Beach house. Are we still shipping? I sort of sank it, but how do we feel about this moving in, meeting the kids? Gwen, you look happy about it.
I totally ship. I think that when you are a certain age, as Renee is, there's no time to waste. Like, if you're into somebody, you're into them. And these are people with means. It's like, move in. If you, it's not like, you know, somebody like a 24-year-old girl who's obsessed with a bad boy who she shouldn't really be dating. And she gives up her rent-controlled apartment in New York City to move in with him. When it blows up 3 months later, she's screwed, right?
That's very specific, Gwen. Who hurt you?
I don't know. You know, asking for a friend. But I think for them, like, Renee, go all in. If this is going to be just like 4 months of fun and happiness, enjoy it. Like, do just, Renee, you deserve happiness. You deserve a romantic relationship that fulfills you. Live it up. I ship.
I believe I shipped for the mess factor. So I still ship for that, since we're clearly seeing Tarek and Christina have some drama. Let's get Ant on set of Flip or Flop, see what we can work around here. And I don't know how I feel about this. It's probably not a good idea, but it doesn't surprise me, because if we've learned anything from this, you know, rectangle of people involved, they love to move on very quickly. They're quick to call someone their ride or die. They're quick to get remarried. They're quick to get divorced. And I can't wait to see. I want Renee to get involved in this real estate mess. So let's go.
I think Gwen's right that when you hit a certain age, you know what you want. It's time to move in. You like it. There ain't no time to waste. So, you know, they're sort of growing on me that, you know, everyone in Hollywood moves lightning fast. This sort of seems right. Well, let's stick on the Love Lives train and talk about our unconventional engagement. Joshua Jackson, also known from whatever show you watched him growing up, Percy, I don't know, that String Theory one on Fox, however you like him, is married to gorgeous Jodie Turner Smith. And he revealed on Jimmy Fallon that she was the one who proposed to him. He said that, quote, "She asked me, yeah, on New Year's Eve, we were in Nicaragua." Shout out to Nicaragua. I love it there. "It was a very beautiful, incredibly romantic. We were walking down the beach and she asked me to marry her. There was like a preamble. It was like a lead up to it. I didn't know it was coming, but she was quite adamant and she was right. This is the best choice I ever made."
Aww.
Now they tied the knot in December 2019, and they welcomed their first daughter, Janie, in April 2020. And I just think it is so great. He's speaking out about the medical system's track against Black women. He really is like living that life, embodying it. And I just think it's beautiful that, you know, she proposed to him. What do you guys think?
I think there is absolutely nothing wrong with a woman proposing to a man. I think that we need to normalize that. And I think that there should be more of that in the world. I personally also think that Jodie Turner Smith can do absolutely nothing wrong. She's one of the most beautiful women in Hollywood and also outspoken and brilliant. So, I mean, I'm all into this. I love this pairing. I think that people sort of thought that it was an unlikely pairing at the beginning, but they're actually like the best couple in Hollywood. I'm super into them.
I like them too. I love Joshua Jackson, Pacey Witter forever. And
Pacey forever. Who cared about Dawson?
Not me. Certainly not me. Excuse me. Pacey forever. But
Dawson just makes you sick.
Yeah, Dawson makes me sick. Sorry, James Vanderbeek. But I just also think it's so interesting that, because he was with Diane Kruger for all that time, and they like kind of were on the whole thing of like, we don't want to get married, we don't need to, and they were together forever. And then they broke up and she immediately got with Norman Reedus and had a kid, and then he married Jodie and had a kid. And I just like love when that happens for both of them, because it's always kind of sad when like one person in the relationship, they break up and they kind of stick to the, oh, I never wanted to get married. And then all of a sudden the next person like turns around and like starts a new life with them. But it was nice that both of them found happiness.
Sarah Heron, what can you tell us about the Roni shakeup? There is a lot of rumors, a lot of stuff going down, a sort of lackluster season is from where I'm sitting. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, the season, the ratings are down. It's not its best by any means. There's a lot of blame game being played behind the scenes of Roni. And it kind of sounds like behind the scenes drama is much more interesting than what we're seeing on screen. We have one source that has told us that the reunion date has been pushed back. There is no date in place. They're talking September, but they were looking forward to wrapping the show in August and then starting the new season in the fall. But now they don't have a new schedule for the reunion or to start filming the new season. One source told us that there's talks of a shakeup in the production company. Let's just say nobody's safe, but no official decisions on cast have been made until after the reunion. One source also noted that producers don't like the chemistry between the cast. They're wondering if they should go back with the old and in with the new. They should go out with the old and in with the new, meaning that Sonia, Luann, and Ramona are on the chopping block. Tinsley Mortimer is also in talks to come back, but nothing is set in stone. Leah and Ebony seem to be safe, but producers are looking to throw in new cast members. They want the chemistry to be there, so they're taking their time and searching, which is why there's been a delay in filming. Another source, however, says the OGs aren't scared at all. They've been through this before. If any of the OGs are fired, the show is likely to lose a lot of fans and the ratings would be even lower. The network is weighing all the options, including putting the show on a hiatus or canceling it. Ooh. So basically, the Ramona, Luann, and Sonia probably are blaming more of Ebony and Leah for the viewers not liking them. Ebony and Leah are more like, we're trying to bring in a new group of fans and storylines. Personally, I like Ebony as a person a lot. I think her storylines have been a little lackluster. It's not her fault. I think there was too much pressure put on her to like educate these women as the first Black cast member. Leah, I'm really over. I didn't like her that much last season and I really don't like her now. And I can't lose my Ramona, Luann, and Sonia though, because watching them be silly is all I really want from Roni.
Agreed. But I mean, putting it on hiatus is sort of a dramatic turn, but Roni was so amazing for the two seasons before this. And now it's just not that great to watch or interesting. I'm really only about Potomac or Beverly Hills right now and forgotten New York existed.
The good news is Orange County had a very rough couple years and then we don't know how it's going to shake out, but they put that on hiatus. And then now they're bringing us back Heather Dubrow. We're hearing about these new people joining and we haven't seen it yet, but I have high hopes for that. So maybe what Roni really does need to do is hit pause and think about what's going on here.
Well, we all know the best way to get over someone is to get under someone, which explains why Jeff Bezos was caught riding a giant dick rocket into space following his breakup with Mackenzie Scott. The two last an impressive 11 minutes together. Now, I think all of us have seen online this very phallic-shaped space rocket launched into space. And I just want to know, what were your hot takes about Jeff Bezos riding that thing around and coming back to ground?
Well, first of all, I really would love if somebody would interview him about the design of the rocket. And like, did he intentionally make it look like a giant dick? I mean, I think that he must have, simply to kind of like piss everybody off. Like, he knew that everybody would be talking about it looking like a giant dick and making memes with Dr. Evil. I mean, obviously he did it on purpose. The best thing to come out of that space jaunt, because by the way, you guys, all of these rocket trips, Bezos and also Sir Richard Branson, who by the way, I would ride a rocket with him anytime. They kind of don't really go to space. They like leave the Earth's atmosphere a little bit. But like, I'm sorry, if you're not far enough out in space to see the whole Earth, are you really in space? Nah. But here was the best part about the Bezos trip. Blue, whatever, right? Wally Funk, you guys. Two words.
Blue balls.
Wally Funk. Wally Funk, the 80-year-old female, now astronaut, who got to have her little space ride. She was denied by NASA for years and years and years. Wally Funk got to space, sort of. She even was like, I thought we were going to be able to see the Earth, but we couldn't. And she was really awesome. And that was what I loved more than anything about that, the whole story. I mean, the press conference was really something. The other thing that I discovered is that Jeff Bezos' brother, Mark, is a smoke show, smoking hot. I saw him at the press conference. I was like, is he single? But then he thanked his wife for allowing him to like do this crazy thing. So he's not, but he's a smoke show. He's hot.
Sarah, did you have any phallic thoughts about this rocket?
I mean, I'm always here for the memes. I loved everyone talking about Xenon Girl, the 21st century, who was, my first woman in space. And also everyone talking about how like Jeff Bezos redefined a midlife crisis. And now this is the new version. So yeah, that was my biggest takeaway. I'm always here for memes.
Bless it, for it is good. Well, move over Steve Harvey, because Spike Lee has sort of taken the reins. I know that Gwen Flamberg has seen it, and I'm sure that Sarah has the Fashion at the Cannes Film Festival, where the most gorgeous gowns were happening. All the celebrities were there. Ooh la la, glamour, glamour, glamour. Spike Lee was one of the members of the jury, but caused a commotion at the end ceremony when he announced the winner of the Palme d'Or Award when he wasn't supposed to. He announced it first and like unveiled the winner early in the awards ceremony. It was supposed to be the big one at the end. He addressed this and said, quote, "I'm a big sports fan. I'm like the guy at the end of the game who misses a free throw or a kick. No apologies. The people of Titan, the movie that won, spoiler alert, and forget about it, Spike. This means a lot to me. Fellow jury members, thank you. This was an injection of humanity into the middle of the ceremony." I don't know if that was like an apology, but I don't know why I'm so obsessed with when people read the wrong names at awards ceremony. Shout out to Moonlight and La La Land as well. I just think it's fantastically hilarious. Did you guys see this? Did you have any thoughts about Spike Lee?
I here's the thing. He doesn't need to apologize because he's Spike Lee. And I think it's all good. And it was a woman who won the Palme d'Or, which was historic. And listen, more than anything, Cannes gave me life because the red carpet really brought glamour back. And if you guys want to hear about that, please listen to our Glam Squad Confidential podcast, where in the current episode on Spotify, iTunes, and everywhere where you listen to your podcasts, we talked to Adir Abergel, Hollywood hair guru, who styled several of the A-listers at Cannes, experienced Cannes, and explains to us why glamour is back and what hair trends you're going to be seeing for fall influenced by this return to glamour.
Let's go to the boxing ring because it's time for Celebrity Birthday Boxing Mania. Yeah. Now we have some very fun and a little bit up there in age people who have taken to this AARP inspired boxing match. The first one, Sarah Heron, is to you. We have Lisa Rinna, who is 58 this week, versus Mr. Richard Simmons, who is 73 this week.
Oh, wow. Fighting words.
Think about the videos they could make together.
The workout videos?
Yes, but that would require Richard Simmons to leave his house. So we're going to give it to Ms. Lisa Rinna, who is always down. She would probably do a real celebrity birthday boxing thing to make a buck.
She probably would. And then maybe his maid who's keeping him hostage would come and beat Lisa Rinna for him.
Allegedly.
Gwen Flamberg, next one is to you. Sir Patrick Stewart is 81 this week versus David Hasselhoff, who is the golden year, 69 this week.
I mean, this is really, really tough because you have like Captain Kirk from Star Trek New Enterprise or whatever the heck it was called. And you have David Hasselhoff, who's like maybe the best lifeguard ever to grace the beaches, but also a little kooky. And Sir Patrick has an accent. So I'm just going to give it to him.
The last match, Sarah Heron, I think you're going to like at least half of this one. Ryan Austin Green, 48 this week, versus Will Ferrell, 54 this week.
Oh. Wow. Interesting. David Silver. And Elf,
the star of Eurovision.
Yeah, Will Ferrell has a lot already, so let's give it to Brian Austin Green. He's had a rough year, you know.
I think that is the right decision, Sarah. He's had a lot of adversity this year. Gwen Flamberg, there is a menage a trois in the boxing ring, and Lisa Rinna's in the middle of Sir Patrick Stewart, 81, and Brian Austin Green, 48, who is taking home this imaginary trophy.
I believe that Lisa Rinna would just mesmerize both gentlemen with her fabulous lips, her ginormous lips with her proprietary lip kits, which again, if you want to read all about them, go to usmagazine.com/stylish, but she would just like kiss them both and knock them both out. And Lisa Rinna takes the prize.
Congratulations, Sarah. I'll make sure I quote this right. She's just, a big lips and iconic hair. What's the quote?
Something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. She's just big lips and iconic hair. Ding, ding, ding. Congratulations to Lisa Rinna, 58, for winning the boxing match. And thank you to my hosts, Sarah and Gwen, for helping me spill all of this piping hot celebrity this week. This is Travis Cronin on Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast, your weekly peek into the glamour, glitter, fashion, fame of your favorite celebrities. After all,
they're just like us.
Wow, very like a chorus. Don't forget to come back next week for more. Thank you, guys.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.